your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and remain standing if you would. We're going to read verses 8 through 18 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 18. Folks, we sang that song a moment ago. I can't help. My mind was wandering just a little bit. Dr. Curtis Hudson, many years ago, dear hero of mine, I watched him sing that song while he was preaching one day. Brother Stoltz, less than 2 weeks, I think, before he went to heaven. He stood in behind a pulpit and was preaching, and he began to sing, and he said, "I want the second verse of that song put on my gravestone." By the way, if you went to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, you would see his gravestone, and you would see that song printed on his gravestone. But I watched a dying man, dying of cancer, preaching that day, start singing that. It was like heaven came down. Let me tell you, it was exciting. And I cannot sing that song without that memory. I apologize, but it just blesses my heart. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are going to read verses 8 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 8. You join me on verse 9, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, 'I believed, and therefore have I spoken,' we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." And let's finish on verse 18 together. Ready? "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us focus our minds and our hearts to the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I wished I could stand before you as a better vessel. I can't. I'm sinful. I'm no better than any other human that was ever created, but I have a perfect book. I have a holy God, and I have the Holy Spirit of God that can do what I cannot do. Lord, as I yield to that Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help each and every hearer to listen with an open ear and an open spirit and mind to get what you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. We live in what I call the rechargeable battery age of today. It seems like everywhere you go, people are, and I'm going to use the word, plugged in. You know, they're charging up their phones, they're charging up their computers, their iPads. I'm talking restaurants, airports, the malls. I walked into a men's room at a truck stop, and there's guys in there with their phone plugged in and everything else. It's crazy. They are now advertising for churches. In church furniture, you now can get pews where people can plug their iPhones and their iPods and their laptops and everything into and get things directly from. And I'm thinking, unbelievable. Now, our digital age has also become the rechargeable age. Now, I have an iPad. I know what it means. You plug that thing in there. You put that and into the power source, and you can get the juice you need to keep running whatever you're running, all right? Let me see if I can untangle everything. You know, when you put these things in your pockets, they don't come out the right way, do they? And, you know, that is a very typical scene in the world. If you've traveled at all or been to an airport, every electrical socket in an airport, you've got four people hooked up, sitting on the floor next to the wall, doing this. And I mean every last one of them. You get up where the gates are, and they have special tables set up to where you can plug in while you're waiting on your plane. And I'm thinking, man, people are addicted to their electronics. Now, I'm talking about phones and laptops, iPads, Kindles, GPS, iPods, etc. Every one of them have something called a rechargeable battery. Now, listen to me very carefully. It seems as though I'm not here to debate your preferences on Samsung, Apple, you name it. Let's put all those differences aside, all right? You say, well, no wonder it's going dead because you got... Let's put all those things aside. I don't care what brand you have. If you use it, it's going to die. It's going to go down. You're going to need to charge it up. Now, I have a cell phone. I use it daily. Matter of fact, it goes off at all hours of the day and night. Just this week, I got to bed at 11 o'clock one night, and at 11:54, I got a text. And then at about 2:30 in the morning, I got another one. At 3:30, I got another one. It's like that all night long. And it just happens. Now, and there's people with needs all over, and I try to help. Now, I'm not here to debate your preferences, but let me use a little personal illustration here. I don't know about you. I have to charge my phone virtually every day. That's just the way it is. Now, those of you that are under about the age 25 or 30, when I was a kid, we didn't know what a cell phone was. There was no such thing. The only thing of a cell phone we knew was from Dick Tracy. He had one that was about the 1950s. He would take a shoe off and talk into it, you know, and it was space age stuff, you know. They just thought about things like that. It wasn't really true. When I grew up, we had most of my life until I was probably a middle teenager, we had one phone in the house, and it was right on the kitchen wall. You all know what I'm talking about? And it had one of those little curly Q little cords attached to it for the earpiece to the phone. And we thought we were really fancy because usually they're only about that long and it could stretch them out, you know, real far. Dad got an extra, extra long one. That meant we could actually get out of the kitchen, go around the corner and stand by the front door and talk. And people had to listen a little closer to hear what you were saying on the telephone. I even remember phones that didn't have push buttons. You did the little rotary dial there. I guess I'm old enough. My dad's parents had what they call a party line. If you were at grandma's house and picked up the phone, you could hear people in the neighborhood talking, and you had to wait your turn, or like everybody else did, just listen to hear what they were saying, all right? But that's what telephones were like back in those days. Don't laugh at me. When I started driving a car, my dad or my mom would tell me, keep a quarter in your shoe. You better keep a quarter with you. Say, why? Because if you got stuck somewhere, you had to go find a payphone. I know you don't know what that means. But you had to find a payphone and put a quarter in that thing to make a phone call to get help. You couldn't just stop and get help or just pull your cell phone out and get help. Now, I find this out. The more I use my phone, the more often I must charge it. That's just natural, all right? Now, I'm not very smart, but it doesn't take me, doesn't take a brain surgeon to understand why I must charge it if I use it daily. Does that not make sense to you? All right, now listen to me. When my phone or my iPad gets low on a charge, when it gets to about 20%, it sends me a little thing on my screen I think it turns red. I'm colorblind, but it looks red to me, all right? If it's not, don't tell me. But this little thing comes out and says, low battery, and it starts letting me know that it's low on juice. Time to start plugging it in. Now, I don't stress over it. I don't get mad at my cell phone and throw it out the window while I'm driving down the highway saying, you stupid phone, and throw it out because it's low on battery. I don't get all worried about it because my battery is low. I simply plug it in. And it starts re-energizing, recharging itself. Did you know I can even keep using it while it's charging? I don't even have to miss a beat while it's charging. I don't panic. I don't run around confused. I don't run around angry. I just simply plug it in. Now, let's use that illustration for life. The average person faces a little opposition or a little trouble or gets a little discouraged and they're ready to throw the phone out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, there's days I would like to throw my phone out. But we have such a weak society. When the low battery signal comes on, people start panicking in their life. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Our society is ready to throw in the towel because they face a little opposition. Our society says, well, because we don't want people to be discouraged, we won't keep grades for children. We'll just kind of run them through the system without actually showing them what their real grades are. Gag. In the average city leagues around America today, for children's sports, they're not even keeping score. So that the children don't feel the pressure of losing. They might cry. Do you know how many times I cried because I was batting in the bottom of the seventh inning and I struck out and lost the game for my team? I remember pitching one game and we were barely ahead. I was pitching in the bottom of the last inning and I gave up a mater pitch and a kid hit it over the fence and won the game with one swing. I remember crying. Say, oh, that's just so traumatic. It will warp your psyche. No, it made me want to go back out there. Next time I face that kid, strike him out. And cry about it because of that. I cried because I lost the game for my team. But the next time I saw that dude, I didn't bean him either. I struck him out. I decided I would, I remember my dad. Son, quit. Just a game. Just a game. Boy, I'm glad my dad taught me when it was worth crying for and when not worth crying for. Y'all doing okay? Okay, hang on. Here we go. Our generation runs down the batteries of life and then get upset and begin to fall apart in life. Hang on here. The only thing is this. The world runs around totally freaked out. So all they need to do is plug the plug in and recharge the battery. So all we need to do is plug in and recharge the battery. Now, we need to quit going around and getting upset because things aren't going our way or we face a little opposition. We need to quit walking around so discouraged and depressed. Got this problem and got that problem and I got this problem. Yeah, plug in, get charged up, face it, and go on. Did you know getting depressed doesn't fix the problem? Do you know that getting mad and throwing the phone out because the battery is low does not charge the battery? Unless somebody caught it and picked it up and charged it back for you. Now, wait a minute. We run our bodies hard and wonder why we get tired at the end of the day. There's days I'll run and run and run and run and work and work and work and work. Recently, I was up about 3:30 in the morning. And about 10 o'clock that night, I looked at my wife. I said, honey, I'm tired. She said, well, you've been going all day long. You were going before everybody else was even done snoring for the night. She said, you ought to be tired. I thought, well, I didn't think about it that way. I've been running hard. Now, wait a minute. We run hard, and by the way, physically, we don't always take it well. And then we get frustrated. Everybody look at me for a second. Those of you that are a little bit more seasoned in life, i.e., you said that, Brother Barnes. I didn't say it. He called you old. I didn't say that. You wonder, you get frustrated. You used to be able to do more without getting as tired. Can I tell you something? The older you get more tired trying to do what you used to do, and there's some things you can't do anymore. That's because you've already done it for so long, it's time for somebody else to pick up the torch and keep on going. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean you just sit down and die. There are things you can do. There are things that you, and by the way, just sitting there doing nothing, you're going to get more and more depressed and more weak. You need to plug in daily and recharge that thing. Now, the older you get, just like the battery on one of your electronics, the older the battery gets, the more often you have to recharge it. Guess what? The older we get, the more we need recharged. One of the reasons is there's more information on it the longer you've had it. There's more mileage on it. Guess what? The older your body gets, the more it needs recharged. You know, I don't expect Brother Taylor to run the schedule I run. At 79, he doesn't need to run what I run at 48. I talked to my grandma yesterday, 97 years old. We were with her last week for a couple days, and she said, I just get so tired. I don't do much anymore. Well, she sits in a wheelchair and shuffles it with her feet. Her shoulders are so bad she can't run it with her arms. But she scooches around with her feet and gets everything she needs. And they try to walk her to the where she eats every day. And it's a haul. It would be almost as far as about three quarters of the length of this building. And they get her up at 97 and try to walk her most of the times. She said, I just get so tired. By the time I get back, I'm just wore out. I said, you've earned the right to be wore out, Grandma. Don't worry about it. I said, at 97, just getting up would wear me out. Amen? And I understand. Now, wait a minute. She needs to recharge more often than I do. Now, today, I want to show you something that will help you with your life. I want to show you how to recharge your battery for life instead of slowing down, running out of power, getting discouraged, and throwing the usefulness of a tool called your life away. I want to show you how to be less frustrated, less disappointed, less troubled, less feeling like you've been forsaken, and show you what God says about this in His Word. Now, I want you to keep your Bible open there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to show you something. If I shout this morning, don't worry, all right? I am not a Pentecostal. I'm not one of these faith healers, but I believe in praising God, amen? Now, first of all, salvation plugs you into the life of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? No wonder the world walks around discouraged, depressed, and wrung out. If I thought that I was going to die and life in general stopped the moment I stopped breathing and that my eternity was unsure, I can see why they worry so much. Guess what? When you close your eyes in death and you take your last breath here on earth, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the next gulp of air, you're in heaven. This Wednesday afternoon, my brother's mother-in-law went to heaven. I was back there last week for a couple days and got to meet with he and my sister-in-law, and we talked about death and we talked about what was going to take place. And early Wednesday afternoon, my brother texted me and said, she's in heaven. But something interesting, we sat at lunch a week ago Friday, and he said, Craig, he said, how do people make it? He said, it's hard enough knowing she's going to go to heaven. How do people do this when they don't know for sure they're going to heaven? I said, Chris, that's why they're always so freaked out. Right. Tam's got a family member that's not saved and came in, and She didn't behave as wisely as someone who understood heaven. And I said, that's how they react. Not because they're bad people. They don't know where they're going. I said, if you were facing hell, couldn't you see why they would react that way? He said, I didn't think about it quite that way. Can I tell you something? When you get saved, you're plugging into Jesus' life. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Look at verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. That's why the book of Galatians said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who saved me and gave himself for me. Guess what? The moment you plug into Jesus Christ, you identify with his death, his burial, and the resurrection. Watch this. And the moment you get saved, the same power that resurrected Jesus by the Holy Spirit moves into your life and gives you eternal life. Amen. Folks, when you get saved, you plugged into the eternal power source for your eternity. See, man is body, soul, and spirit. A person that is not saved has a dead spirit. They're only body and soul. The moment you get saved, your spirit is reborn. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. You must be born again. And he said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Two different spirits there. One small case, one capital case. That which is born of God's spirit is man's spirit. And the moment you get saved, you are regeneticized, regened. That's what the word regeneration is. You are given the eternal genetics of God so that your spirit can live forever. Did you know once you're alive, you can't stop it? I don't care how many tens of millions of babies they've aborted, they're all in heaven. I don't care if you've lived one second, one day, or one century, you've been alive. And the moment your spirit becomes alive, because it's been energized and born of the Spirit of God, it's eternal. You can't give it back. You didn't do anything to get it except receive it. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. It's already been paid for. You couldn't buy it if you had all the money in the world because Jesus already paid for it. You just simply by faith receive what God did for you, apply it to your life, and then you are saved. Now watch this. Man who is not saved has a dead spirit and has no power supply to his battery. That's why we have such perverted art in America today. That is man trying to, we are culturally dignified. America is culturally perverted. This is why we have perverted music. Everybody doing okay? Hang in there. I'm not talking about just the filthy rock music and rap music of our day. I'm talking about the country western music of today. Who's cheating on this person's wife? Who's getting drunk tonight, sleeping with this person? How many times are we going to hop around the hay with somebody? That's all the music is about. Everybody doing okay? Used to say when you played rock music back, you got these demonic things. If you played country music backwards, you got your truck back, got your car back, got your wife back, and everything else. And that's pretty close to what it is. Now, wait a minute. This is why we have perverted morals in America today. It does not shock me that the Supreme Court would say that sodomites can marry each other because we've gotten away from the truth and man's spirit is dead and they're making decisions away from God based on man, not God. This is why that, and don't get mad at me, preachers used to preach like this all the time. That's why when a man and a woman live together, it's still shacking up. God said we're supposed to get married before we do that. I still believe young people, unmarried people, ought to hit the altar pure and virgin. I can't believe you said that. Guess what? I believe in it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to condemn anybody. I'm just going to tell you what God said. Doesn't mean people that didn't live right don't have a chance to get saved. And if they were saved, doesn't mean they can't get right with God, pick up and go on, and let's get moving forward. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. This is why we have perverted philosophies of today. Do you realize how stupid the philosophy of evolution is? Folks, the very premise of evolution is everything is getting better. Let me ask you a question. In your lifetime, how much is getting better? There is no proven science anywhere for it. By the way, global warming, there is no proven science for it. Oh, we have to get rid of plastic bags. They don't decompose in the landfills. Let me ask you a question. Where did the materials for the plastics come from? The earth. We got them from the ground to begin with. What are we worried about? Everybody doing all right? Okay, everybody smile. I'm having fun. Hang on here. We have this perverted philosophy that, well, we have to accept whatever anybody thinks they are. I'm talking about the Bruce Jenner mentality. That's perverted. Or whatever Jenner it is. Well, I was a man, but I thought I was a woman, so it is whatever I think I am. Those people confuse me. By the way, God is not the author of confusion. When you're hatched, when you're born, and you come out of the oven, they take one look at you and say, male or female? There's only one way to tell that, folks. There's not a slot on there that says to be determined. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't care how many times you teach a duck to bark, a duck is still a duck, not a dog. Y'all think I'm stupid here. I'm serious. The first premise of socialism, the first premise of communism, and the first premise of humanism are all the same. There are no absolutes. We must get rid of absolutes. And when you get rid of absolutes, listen to me, man will accept whatever he wants. Sounds like the Garden of Eden to me. Hey, Eve, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. God knows that you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You can choose what good and evil is. You don't have to listen to God. Hadn't changed in 7,000 years, just so you know. That's why they're trying to get rid of the Word of God. That's why they're trying to get rid of the Constitution of the United States of America, and socialism is now an accepted philosophy in America by an awfully strong percentage. Two people shot and killed, or three people shot and killed in a theater in Lafayette, Tennessee this week. And by the way, that is tragic. I hurt for those people. Let me ask you a question. How many people were murdered the same day in D.C.? There were three times as many shot and killed in D.C. the same day. How many people were killed in Chicago, Detroit, New York, L.A., Frisco, Houston, any other city you want to go to in America? Where's the press on that one? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Hang in there. Salvation plugs you into the power source of Jesus Christ, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. If you read verses 12 through 14, you can go back and read it later. When you get saved, you're actually plugging into the Holy Spirit. And listen to this statement. When you get saved, and I'm not saying people are wrong doctrinally for saying this. Well, just trust Jesus and Jesus will move into your heart. That's not really a true statement. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside you. He quickens. He makes your spirit alive. And it's the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, not Jesus. Jesus is in heaven, just so you know. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves in. Now watch this. It's the Holy Spirit who resurrected Jesus. That was the power that it took to get Jesus out of the grave. And that same power, the moment you get saved, you have access to. Wow. That's a power grid that's not going down. You see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He plugs into your life. And you have an undrainable battery supply as long as you stay plugged in. Guess what? Once you're plugged in, you can't unplug it. You just got to recharge it. Now listen to me. I laugh. The world. I was somewhere the other day, and I was paying for something, and this poor cash register lady, she looked like she had been drugged through a knot backwards. I said, "You okay?" She said, "Yeah. I'm just so tired. I've been working so much this week." I said, "Really? How many hours you got in?" "Well, this is like Friday afternoon." She said, "I've put 30 hours in this week." I thought, man, I did that in 2 days this week. You say, "Did you say that?" Mm-mm. America's lazy. We think 40 hours and we're about ready to die. And I realize there's different levels of work. And there's some of you men, you use your body hard 40 hours a week. And I understand that. There's some of us, not necessarily does the body get used that hard, but you know the old coconut gets used that hard. And that can be just as tough in different ways. Amen? But either way, we don't understand what hard work's all about. Everybody listen to me. Did you know that if a person sweats, it's not a bad thing? And in this kind of weather, you ought to be really glad. You know, God said, by the sweat of your brow, you'll earn your living. You'll live. You know, the devil and the humanist wants you to plug into yourself. The devil and the humanist wants you to plug into yourself. That's why most religion, there's only two kinds of religion, folks. You do it yourself, or you accept what God did and let that take you to heaven. Those are the only two kinds of religion. I don't care whose name is attached to it. Whether it's Buddha or Mohammed or Jesus, it's either he did it all and you receive it, or you got to earn it to get it. Guess what? You can't earn it to get it. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, that's a good statement. You need salvation to plug you in eternally to the access to give you power eternally. You can't earn it. You can't pay it. It doesn't come by Potomac Edison. It doesn't come by any other power company. It comes by Jesus Christ. And I want you to know what verse 10 through 11 said. It said that you might live his life in your mortal flesh. Did you know you can actually live the life of Jesus in this body? You cannot be perfect, but you can live his life. Wow. Number two. I love this. Are you ready? Everybody do something for me. Everybody smile. Take a deep breath. Okay. I know the heat's got you down. Here we go. You need to daily plug in and recharge your battery. Look at verse number 16. For the which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Guess what? Jesus said here that though the outward man perish, it faints, it gets tired, it wears down, the batteries get low. You got to recharge it by recharging the inward man every day. Folks, the average Christian gets discouraged. The average Christian gets depressed. The average Christian gets distressed because they're not recharging the inward battery and they're wearing out themselves. Boy, that's a good statement. Salvation gives you access to the eternal power. If that's plugged in, great. But if you don't plug it into your unit, it's worthless. All the power in the world's available through the cord. You just got to plug it in every day. Yes. Folks, let me ask you a question. How long's it been since you read that book right there? How long? You ought to read it every day of your life. And please don't get mad if I say something here, but if you do, tough. Let me say it as kindly as I know how. I'm not as interested in you reading Genesis to Revelation every year as I am you reading the Bible every day of your life. I think someday in your life, some year, you ought to read through the Bible at least once in a year. I'm not as concerned about you rushing to read through the Bible every year as I am reading till you got something to change your life every day. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. I read my Bible every day. I don't remember the last time I read Genesis to Revelation all the way through. I average reading through my Bible 2.5-3 times every year, though. Say, what do? I read what I need when I need it. If I'm feeling down, I know where to go. If I'm feeling mean, I know where to go to calm me down. If I'm feeling like I'm facing a battle, I know where I've got to go. If I feel like I need to recharge in a different area of life, I go to that part of the Bible and I read. Hey, isn't that what we're supposed to do? You see, the Bible is that ability. These are God's words. These are not man's words. Paul did not write 2 Corinthians. God did. God wrote it before the foundation of the world. He wrote it before there ever was an apostle Paul. Paul was the penman that put it down on paper, word for word as God gave it, but it was written before there ever was a Paul. Everybody doing all right? Now, hang in there for a second here. The Bible is God talking to man. Prayer is man talking to God. I'm for prayer. I pray a lot. I pray a lot and I pray a lot. But I read my Bible more probably than I pray because what God has to say is more important than what I need to tell God. Everybody doing all right? That's why you need to come to church. That's why there's Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Say why? Because we need the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, so that we know how to re-energize, revitalize. Hey, some of you get your best sleep in church. It's a place to recharge a battery, amen? Let's face it, folks. It's a tough world out there. That's why the church isn't supposed to be some dull lecture session. It's not supposed to be some intellectual experience. It's supposed to be powerful and recharge your battery spiritually. That's why helping others, serving others is important. Did you know when you help someone else, it gives you strength and energy to go on? A man called me this week. He said, "Preacher, I'm just feeling down." I said, "Good. I want you to go help somebody." "Well, I don't have much." I said, "Just go to the store, hold the door, and open it and close it for about 50 people and tell them to have a good day." They did. About an hour later, I got a phone call. He said, "Man, I'm feeling good. Thanks, preacher. I'm ready to go." No problem. Say, what was it? Just helping somebody. I'm talking about going soul winning. Did you know soul winning will energize you? Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Knocking on people's doors that I don't know. I've been doing it for 40 almost years. Can I tell you something? My first thought is still, man, I hope they're not home. I get nervous, but as soon as that door pops open, something happens. And the moment somebody gets saved, I am ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. I'm not kidding. I mean, I get wound up. I'm ready to go to the next one. I went, made a visit yesterday, and I'd been to this house before, but they have a dog that weighs about 160 pounds. It's a massive dog. And I had to go to the back door. I opened up the gate, and there stands that dog, about that tall. I said, good doggy. It'd been a while since I had been there, and he didn't remember me. I'm letting him sniff me, Brother Buck. I got to the door. I was doing fine. I said, we're going to knock on, you know, I'm talking to this dog, you know. You say, why? Because I was going to be a chew toy if not. I knocked on the door, stepped back, and that dog didn't like me knocking on the door. He's jumping on me, put my arm out there. I said, it's okay, it's okay. He's looking at me and thinking, I said, when we get out of here, I'm not turning my back on him. They didn't answer. I left a track by the door, not on the door. I kept walking backwards, got to the gate. I no sooner got through the gate and started to push that gate, and he'd come up on top of that fence, and he's, I thought, it's okay, and I just locked the gate. I texted the person I went to visit. I said, he texted me and said, man, I got your card. I didn't know you're here. I didn't get into till 4 o'clock in the morning, and I stayed in bed. I said, it's okay. I understand when you don't get to bed till 4 o'clock in the morning. It's time to sleep in the morning, amen. And I understand that. He said, was the dog out? I said, yeah, I thought I was going to be a chew toy, but fortunately he remembered me just enough not to chew. He said, that's good. I said, you don't know how good that is. Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't real excited about that dog, let me tell you. I was real excited when I got out with all of my members still attached. Now, wait a minute. You know what? It energized me. I was able to help somebody. I was able to tell somebody about Christ this week. You know, I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know if you buy an electronic device like this and you plug it in and you stay plugged in 24/7, you'll destroy the battery? Can I tell you why? You're never using it. You know, you're supposed to unplug and go help somebody. You're supposed to wear it down and then resupply it. Everybody doing all right? I get tired every day. I get wore out spiritually every day. I have done more battle with the devil in the last 2 weeks than I've done in a long time. And I mean, I'm tired of smelling sulfur breath. I was talking with a preacher on Friday, and he said, Brother Bush, there's just sometimes I look at my secretary and say, hold all my calls. I don't know how long it'll be, but I got to get with God because I can't take anymore. I respect that. There's times I've told my secretary, just take messages. I got to go spend some time and get recharged. I don't say that to her, but that's what I do. Say why? Because I got to plug in the battery because I'm running low, amen? I got to plug it back in. Now, I'm almost done, and you're glad. But point number three, stay focused on the eternal, not the temporary. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not after things which are seen, but after things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can I tell you something? Too many people are living looking at the temporary, not the eternal. They're looking at, please don't get mad at me. We're so worried about our paycheck and a bigger house
and a bigger car and more things than we are the people that live inside the house that we cart around. Everybody doing okay? You don't need a $250,000 house if you're 20, 25, 30 years old. You're supposed to be building a family. Be satisfied with a little smaller house. Listen to me. Because some of you, mom works, dad works, you have kids, send them to school, and you don't know who they are till they graduate from high school. You send them out and wonder why you don't even know who your children are. You spent your whole life working to give them big things, but you don't even know who they are. Everybody doing all right? Do you know I shared a room with my brother my whole life? Well, the whole life I lived when I was home. Better be careful how I say that nowadays. We live in a weird world. But for the first, let's see, my brother is. Yeah, so for the first 14, 15 years of my life, I shared a room with my brother virtually my whole life. We came out okay. Now, wait a minute. Did you know it's not sinful? Did you know that you don't have to have 5,000 square feet for every person that lives in your house? Did you know that, this one's really going to get you. We think big fancy buildings with all the fancy electronics and all the computer networking and everything else is, you know, the answer to education is more money. We've spent trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars on education and nobody can read. Nobody can think. Do you know the greatest minds in American history, most of them didn't even go to high school? And they were trained in one-room schoolhouses? Did you know that the first president to graduate from high school wasn't until almost 1900? Go back and read some things from the 1700s and 1800s once. They didn't have as much time in education as you did. Everybody doing all right? I guess it's not the bigness and the fanciness. It's the quality. Now listen to me very carefully. A rundown battery does not have to last long. Did you know if your battery gets run down, doesn't mean that you throw it away? Do you know that once your battery gets run down, all you can do is plug it in? And just within minutes, with less than an hour, you're ready to fly. You see, it doesn't take long to recharge the battery, but as you use it, it has to be recharged. Did you know that financial reversals are generally temporary? See, I wish the temporary would come soon because I'm tired of this. I understand that. But did you know that a financial reversal really is just temporary? It can be gotten out of. I don't care how ugly it looks. Did you know that bad health is only temporary? Yeah, but preacher, they told me I've got cancer and it's inoperable. Okay, but guess what? If you're saved, you're going to heaven. It's still only temporary. It really is. I'm not going to spend a long time on this. But listen to this. Did you know hurt feelings are only temporary?
Well, somebody said something mean to me. I'm never going back there.
You would have spanked your kids if they acted that way at school. Why is it okay for adults to act that way, but we spank children for that? Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong generation. Put them in time out.
Spanking. You'll warp their psyche.
Dad never called it a psyche, but he warped it many a time, let me tell you. You see, we think because we hurt somebody's feelings that it's so bad. Do you know a real man, when he's got hurt feelings, steps up over that and says, I'm coming through that thing.
Governments and their decisions are temporary. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. One day Jesus will rule and reign this earth, and we're coming back to rule and reign with him. I can't wait for Sandra Day O'Connor and Nancy Pelosi and Hillary someday when they bow their knee to Jesus Christ. I can't wait to watch Harry Reid and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Say why? That kingdom is forever. Let me ask you a question. Are you plugged into the power source? Hey, lost person, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? It's real easy. All you got to do is plug into Jesus Christ. Hey, Christian, are you tired of running down, running out of energy, wore out, depressed spiritually? It's time to recharge the battery. Plug it back into the source. Yes, you went out, you ran it down. Some of you are so afraid to do anything, you never unplug and go do anything. Unplug and go, let it run down a little bit, and recharge it. Wow. You know, the power source never goes out. Did you know that the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will never give out? I don't care how dark the night. I don't care how deep the depression. I don't care how bad the reversal. The power source is still there. It's still there. Folks, you just got to replug into Jesus. You got to replug into the Word of God. You got to replug by being at church. You got to replug sometimes by coming and getting some advice from the preacher so he can help you out of the mess. Sometimes you can't see. Come back tonight, I'll talk about that a little bit. Sometimes you can't see everything you think you're seeing. We get so bogged down that we only see it through our eyes, thinking we're seeing it through God's eyes. Do you know the worst time to make a decision is when you're under the power of having to make a decision? Oh, I work better under pressure. No, you work better under pressure because you're not prepared. It forces you to organize. You can get more done if you organize in advance. Huh. Renewed day by day. No wonder so many Christians give up. They don't ever renew their spirit. Huh. I remember in Psalm 51, and renew a right spirit within me. Wow. Renew. That's the same word, recharge. Get plugged in to the Holy Spirit. Get plugged into the Bible. Get plugged into church. Get plugged into the preaching. And let it recharge your battery so you can go out and use it. Watch this. So that you can wear it down and come back and get some more. I'll be honest with you. I hate to sleep. I'm one of those weird people. I don't like sleep. You can ask my wife. But I'm to the age in life where I got to do a little bit of it or it's going to kill me. I was at the doctor a few months ago. She said, well, Craig, how much do you sleep? He said, can we go to another topic? I said, I'm usually down about five and a half hours. I might sleep two and a half hours of that every night. How long has this been going on? 30 years? She said, you're going to wear out. She gave me some natural, told me to take some melatonin. Sorry. It's one of those words I got to think about saying. Wow. I took that the first time, woke up the next morning, I shook my wife awake. I said, am I supposed to feel this way? I don't remember ever feeling this way. She said, yeah, that's called sleeping. Yeah, I tried every once in a while. I didn't sleep any longer necessarily as far as the time span I was down. But boy, when I did, I was out like a rock. I'm getting my body to where it's actually getting some sleep. And man, it's amazing how I feel. Y'all thought I was spastic before. Hang on, it's only going to get better. The ADD is in full. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. She said, you got to recharge. Or you're going to wear out. That's exactly the term my doctor used. You got to recharge or you're going to wear it out. I said, all right. I obeyed. She said, "Why have you waited this long?" And I said, "I don't know, but I know this. I got a church full of people I love, and I want to give them everything I've got for as long as I can." I said, "The people I love most in this world deserve a pastor that's strong enough to be able to help them as long as he can." I said, "I've got to be as strong as I can be all the time." That's why I did it. I don't like to sleep. My mom will tell you, I gave up naps as soon as I could give them up. I was the kid that got paddled for not sleeping at school, you know, when you're supposed to be at nap time. Kindergarten, Mrs. Pitts' room. I snuck away to play with the magic sink. Say, what's a magic sink? We had a magic sink. You didn't have to turn a knob. You could step on a little thing and the water came out. Psst, you know, that was the biggest thing there, man. All of a sudden, she'd be at her desk and she'd hear the water going, shh. She'd get up and tiptoe across, and there I was, looking and playing with that, and she dragged me back. You gotta lay down. I didn't like to sleep. I wanted to do something. I still don't like sleep, but I do it because I need to. Why? Recharges my battery. Now, the older I get, the more I'm starting to understand this a little bit, but we're getting there. Slow freight, amen? Spiritually, are you recharged? Are you plugged in? You wonder why you get depressed, discouraged, out of sorts? Maybe it is you haven't plugged yourself in. Do you ever wonder why some people can take an awful lot of attack and it doesn't look like it affects them? Because they're plugged in. They're recharging day by day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let me ask you a few questions. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I won't lie to you. I won't lie to God, but I'll raise my hand, and I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you, and thank you for your honesty. There were those that could not raise a hand, and I appreciate that. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure. Now listen to me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But you say, that's me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but someday I'd like to know that." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Someone else. All right, you may put your hand down. In a moment, to that one or two that raised their hand, in a moment we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. At that time, somebody will, if you'll just step towards the aisle, somebody will take the Bible and show you literally within about a 2 or 3 minute time how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Who'd say, "Preacher, tucked away in that sermon somewhere was a truth that I needed for my life. I've not been recharging like I need to be. And that something in that sermon was for me." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands everywhere. Super. You may put your hands down. You too, when the music begins to play as we stand, you come to this altar and tell God what it is. Use this altar and then go back and recharge the battery.